Good afternoon, everybody. Christy Hutcherson on the front lines and in the fight every day for you, the American people. I've been quiet for the last few days and have sat back and have been watching, just like each and every one of you, the horrors for the last 14 days unfold from the unprovoked attack by a terrorist organization led by the regime of Iran, who backs both Hamas. They also back Hezbollah. And they fund terror throughout the free world. This is extremely important for us to understand and weed through a lot of the information that's being posted, even within our own conservative news media. I'm calling this segment War, Treason, Disinformation, and then Truth. Joining me today is a gentleman who has been in the intelligence world, security realm, cyber, maritime security, international clients for the last 23 plus years. We actively work hand in hand with even those on the ground. So today we're going to sift through some of the disinformation from our own team and others and really talk to you candidly about the implications of this unprovoked attack by Hamas in Iran into a sovereign country like Israel. We're also going to connect the dots and show you how it is going to impact and the implications that it has right here on the United States soil. Yes, right here in the United States. Israel is a far, far cry from the borders of the United States of America. But make no mistake, what is happening, whether it's Ukraine, Israel, open borders, laws that are being passed, by the way, underneath the disguise of pretty little packages and bows that you're not even able to read because they're buried, because that's what they like to do. They like to bury the nefarious activity in legal language so you, the everyday citizen, doesn't understand what's really getting ready to happen and how all of a sudden we wake up one morning and we have no freedoms, or those freedoms are eroded. The gentleman that I have on today, he's going to talk off camera. We're going to have a very candid conversation. You're not going to want to miss this. Please share this right now with everybody you know. And also, I promise you, within seconds, Facebook is going to probably censor this and say this is not correct information. No, again, this is another tactic to censor and say it's disinformation is actually false and this is actually truth. Everything we're going to tell you, you can almost research yourself. We can't reveal some of our sources, of course, because of the sensitivity of the security nature that we're going to discuss today. So we're going to get started here. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to call him LK. So thank you so much for joining me today. Okay. I know you're busy. You have a lot of things going on. So let's just get into this. We're going to connect the dots. We really want everybody to understand the administration here, and this isn't political, and I want to make this very clear. This is not a political conversation today, because this is not a Republican, Democrat, or a independent, or a party issue. This is actually an American issue and a security issue for the national defense of our country. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, it's. I would go further than that and say it's a critical. Critical and dire situation that we're facing right now.
So let's talk about what happened. Before we get into Israel, let's talk about Ukraine. We have put hundreds of millions, and actually I think it's in the billions of dollars, feeding the war in Ukraine, so to speak, against the provoked attack by Russia. So let's talk about the implications and why Ukraine matters, and then we'll flow into how it actually connects with Israel.
Well, that's a very expansive question. I think the simplest way to say it is Russia wants to expand its territory, and they need as much fertile soil to do that. They also want a stronger foothold into the West. They're encroaching on other countries' lands. They're trying to rebuild the USSR. They still have some extremely hard-lined politicians and very old family names in the Russian hierarchy. They are pulling the strings. They keep Vladimir Putin in power. They strengthen the regime. They are the regime. And they will not stop until the old motherland has been reconstituted. How this affects the war we're seeing in Israel is that the more chaos and disruption that is caused around the world draws our attention away from the ever-growing presence of Russia into the West. The more resources that we as the free nation of the world and the leading voice for freedom and independence, more of our strength is absorbed, our resources, our intelligence, our military, our equipment is put to use in Israel. It's being taken away from the fight in Russia. This is very, very bad. Any other fights in the world, any distractions to us right now is catastrophic to our efforts to hold back the Russian army. But obviously, with such a humanitarian crisis in Israel, with children and babies with their heads cut off and women and children being pulled back into Gaza and used as human shields and taken as hostages, we must address this. But make no mistake, all of this plays into the hands and the strategy of the Russians.
You know, that's such a good point to make. And, you know, we want to talk about, distractionary fires. Boy, is this a distractionary fire to grow the footprint of not only the communist ideology. And make no mistake, so we're going to talk about Putin, China, and the Iran alliance today on this show. And this is very critical to understand the alliance. Iran represents the Middle Eastern bloc, right? And the terrorist organizations over there, those who believe that we are the big Satan and Israel is the little Satan. And then also China and Russia's involvement in their footprint, both from the Belt and Road initiatives, because that's what China does. They infiltrate infrastructure. And Russia's really good at the right now, the military arm and the expansion of landmass for whether it's agricultural, natural resources, et cetera. And all of this coalesces together. Okay, so one of the things that were brought up with what you just said, and I want everybody to understand how weakening we are becoming from a military might. We have been stretched so thin because we not only are we giving hundreds of billions of dollars to foreign entities to defend their borders while ours remain open and undefended, we are also giving serious military information, serious military equipment, where everything can be reverse engineered, which we already saw that when Biden purposefully withdrew from Afghanistan. This was a purposeful debacle, withdrawal of Afghanistan to give over our latest technologies in the military world. Let's talk about that.
So the withdrawal from Afghanistan is actually laughable. With the weight of equipment that would have needed to be moved back from Afghanistan, I can promise you the logistic arm of the military knew exactly how much tonnage, how much weight, how much surface area each box, each container required on the planes. There's a lot of planning that's put into moving military and armies and regiments around the world. There's a whole department to handle this. It's called the logistics department. And that department is well aware of weights and times and tonnages so that it can plan to bring things into theater and out of theater. And they also know how much it costs, which is why if you look back in history, the withdrawal from Vietnam, you'll see the battle carriers throwing the helicopters off the sides of the aircraft carriers as they were coming back. The reason was they knew how much it was to buy a helicopter from Bell. They knew how much money they would save on fuel by getting rid of the weight. I mean, these are calculated to the cent, very down to the last cent. That department knows exactly what it's doing because that's its purpose. So that equipment was intentionally left behind. Somebody made the order to withdraw. Somebody told the logistics department to stand down. That would only come from the top. We can leave that there. Unfortunately, with the equipment that they've got in hand now, Absolutely right. Reverse engineering. They have all that information. Now, if they had, the really dangerous part is if they had special forces equipment, because if they did manage to get their hands on level 8 night vision, for example, that is now taken off the market, and special forces would have to stop using that product until they manage to replace it with a newer or more advanced. It's so key critical for night vision that's used by the special forces that the enemy has no idea of its capabilities. Once they've got it in their hand, they've got everything. They understand how it works. They understand its weaknesses, its strengths, its battery life. They've got it all. So unfortunately, that now removes special forces off the table with that piece of equipment, which would then need to be replaced.
And to your point, so the Defense Logistics Agency, the DLA, is the hub. Everything in the military realm, and I mean everything from the National Guard to the Coast Guard to every branch of the military and the DOD space, everything filters through the DLA, and then the DLA is the financial arm and the logistics arm, et cetera. And so when we leave, if the decision was made to leave those $87+ billion with a highly sophisticated latest technology on the ground in Afghanistan, the protocol is this, America. The protocol would be then to basically internally sabotage that equipment, blow it up and completely wipe it clean, destroy it. The reason why we're going into such detail right now is because we're painting this picture of what's going on, how we got here, and what you're going to need to do to defend and protect our own borders here in the United States. So also, the base that was turned over by our own military, again, this came from the top, an order from the top. What was housed in those facilities is what we call a tracking system of all of our military grade equipment, whether it's tanks, rockets, bombs, everything. They all have even our weapons, guns, ammo. They all have serial numbers, and they actually can be traced and found. But what happened was, and I'm going to bring in the expert again, and we're going to discuss what exactly happened when we turned over that base to our enemies and what they were able to get their hands on, and why it's really important for you to understand, and how we're going to connect the dots of how our enemies and how terrorists now have not only capabilities to have missiles fire farther than they've ever been able to in such a short period of time, but also we're seeing weapons show up on our southern borders and in war zones with terrorist organizations. Lawrence, LK, let's talk to that.
Yeah, it's we don't have exact figures and numbers as to what was taken on the ground. They absolutely would have had access to the paperwork. Those were still left intact, the offices and the administration side. So they would understand quite a few capability strengths that the military has, certain strategic methods and planning. It's unclear as to what exactly it was, but when we look at what's just happened in Yemen, and yesterday, as early as yesterday, the Yemenis, which are the poorest nation on the world, I believe, lowest income per capita, has now managed to get rockets that can travel from Yemen all the way into Israel, which is absolutely mind-blowing where they would possibly procure those from. Now, other nations can get them and fabricate them, North Korea, China, Russia. You kind of get the impression, given where Yemen is and everything that's going on here and the strategy by some of the players, it may actually be that some of those rockets that found their way into the hands of the Yemenis and the Houthi rebels actually came from Bagram Air Base. This is yet to be seen, but I would not be too surprised if that was a source.
Let's talk about who, really quick, because you just named a terrorist organization that most people probably aren't familiar with.
So yeah, the Houthi rebels are fighting.
Houthi
rebels are fighting a insurgency down in Yemen. Now the government of Yemen are being supported by the Saudis, Saudi royal family and the Saudi government. But this is a civil war in possibly the poorest nation in the world. It's been going on for a very long time. They are not they're still a third world country, a very developing country. They don't have source of ammunition of their own. They have to be given ammunition and weapons. All the sources for them so far have been Iran-backed. The influx of weapons, ammunition, training, body armor, communications, logistics, it's all coming from Iran. It's just very interesting now that these rockets that can now reach into Israel actually got there in time to so that they could support the Palestinian fight against Israel and the Hamas and Hezbollah. This completely smacks of coordination.
And it is not a mistake. We have seen, and if you're not aware of this, that China, Russia, and Iran have had secret talks and meetings. They have also had talks here in Central and South America with the likes of Novella, who is the president of Bolivia. You're talking the president of Nicaragua, and also, of course, Maduro, his regime in Venezuela. And we're going to later on in this show connect the dots on how all of this has a direct correlation and implication to our own borders here in the United States of America and what we believe is imminent and getting ready to happen. So we're kind of laying out, because we're asked all the time, there's a lot of disinformation, like I said earlier, and the gentleman who is speaking, he is, again, 23 plus years intelligence on a global scale. When we look at things, we don't just look at the small keyhole here in the United States. We have a 30,000 foot view of what's really going on. And we have a thumbprint and a heartbeat all over the world. And we make sure that our information and intelligence that we give is pretty spot on. And we will let you know if this is something that we assume and we believe to be so versus factual. Again, but this is really important for you, the American people, to understand the implications of the Ukrainian war, the Israeli war, the growing expansion of a global scale war. You know, I was reading something earlier, LK, and someone said, oh, we're getting ready to be, World War III. What everyone fails to understand, we've been at war. War started actually in 2014. It just isn't where there's shells firing and bullets and tanks rolling through our streets. So we've had war. It looks differently. And one of the concerns that we have and that every American needs to have, and again, I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. This is an American issue. This is a sovereign issue. This is a national security threat. And if you think, no matter what party you lie on, right, you support, that you're going to be okay, you're not. The risk for American lives has never been more great on our own soil, and we're going to get into that later. Okay, so let's further expand on Russia's footprint with Iran and how the squeezing of oil and natural resources correlate to what's possibly going on in the Gaza Strip.
Well, don't think that because Joe Biden said he put sanctions on Iran, so don't think for one second that stopped them selling oil. It hasn't. There have been sanctions put on Iran. Nobody's done a bloody thing about it. They're selling more oil than ever right now. That money is not going to the Iranian people. The Shah of Iran, he was a big friend to United States, but since his departure from Iran back in 1979. That oil sheikdom, as I think the phrase that they use, every single ounce of money from the oil sunk goes straight to the head of the government, and it is appropriated any way they damn please. And they don't care about international sanctions. There's plenty of people out there that will buy their oil from them, lower the market price because it's cheaper. They do not care about the United States sanctions. We are losing friends around the world. This is one of the most important points about diplomacy. Is that our friends and colleagues around the world follow what we say. We have seen a massive degradation in that. There are long-term strategic partners that we've had in the United States that are just not listening to us anymore. Why? We have no damn leadership. We did have, it's gone, the doors are open, the world can do whatever it pleases because the man in charge is not in charge anymore. The adults are not in the room right now. And it has greatly affected the sanctions that were put on Iran because no one's paying any attention to them. The Iranians have brought in billions of dollars over the last 3 years, absolute billions. And we have done nothing to help the cause by allowing them to continue with their nuclear program, which is just absolutely mind-blowing to me. And apparently, Joe Biden had actually made this $6 billion in aid available to them and let them know in advance, even though that $6 billion was solely for use on humanitarian aid, Let me explain something. If you have access to $6 billion, you can leverage that into capital. But the more important thing, the faster thing for Iran to do, if you know you've got $6 billion of aid that can be used on food, don't spend the money that's in your banks and in your pocket right now on food. Use that for missiles and then use the $6 billion for the food, even if that $6 billion goes towards food, which I guarantee you it will not. What Joe Biden, what the Democrats have done, I don't know. I don't think there's any depths to what this creature will do, but I can tell you, he may be a president, but he's damn sure not presiding over this country.
That was really well said. And let's put this into perspective about Iran and the money. So Iran in Palestine. So Iran gives Palestine $100 million a year that we know of on the books. $100 million a year Iran gives to Palestine. They fund other organizations and governments around the world, but that particular $100 million is earmarked to Palestine on a yearly basis. The Biden regime has just turned over $100 million humanitarian aid, again, to Hamas, because that's who's in control. So when you look at who's in control of their parliament and their government, it's all Hamas. They haven't had a free, fair election in over 20 years in Palestine. So the government of Palestine is 100% operated by the terrorist organization Hamas. You have to do your due diligence, people. You have to understand the politics. You have to understand who's in control, who's in charge, and who the politicians are who are running that country. So in one fell swoop, the American taxpayer just gave our own enemy, the terrorist organization Hamas, $100 million. They are now looking to expand that. They, again, which the gentleman just said, okay, about the $6 billion in a freezed account, which of course we all know can be leveraged. It was leveraged. Not to mention the pallets upon pallets of secret cash that was sent under Obama in the middle of the night to Iran. The continued wanting to appease the Iranians through the Iran deals. These people cannot be dealt with. And you know what? These administrations and the policies behind these administrations, they're very well aware that you cannot negotiate with Iran. They've seen behind the scenes in the intelligence world what's going on. I have a report from our own national intelligence agencies, from the director himself of NSI, stating back in February of this year, the growing threat that Iran has, and specifically inside the interior of the United States of America, among other things. I'm going to share that report when I go to the Determined Patriot Conference here. I've got the documents. You're going to see those documents. You're going to be able to see them firsthand. We're going to uncover exactly what's going on. So Biden's administration, again, this is about policies and their agenda. So when you look at the policies of every president, excluding JFK, Reagan, and Trump. Okay, we're going to take those out because they're the only ones who have tried to thwart any of this from happening over the last decades. So when you look at what's going on a global scale and how we've come to this, you have one thing to come to the conclusion. When you look at what they've done, the actions, not the words, the consistent actions that play out, they are warmongers. Why are they warmongers? Well, there's a couple things. The military-industrial complex is massive, and wars bring in billions and billions of dollars. Wars bring in more influence and more power. It's really quite that simple. Two, let's talk about LK, war, money, weapons, and what is going on with the American taxpayer continuing allowing, and you are allowing it, by the way, Republican, Democrat, Independent, I don't care who you are. If you're an American citizen right now, you are actively engaging and allowing our government, the Congress, who holds the purse, to continually fund the demise of our own country and aid and abet foreign adversaries. So let's talk about that.
What was the question?
So we're going to talk about the war, money, weapons, and how the taxpayers are funding our own demise and putting this equipment and our money into the hands of those who don't like America.
Well, yeah, we start getting into the realms of...
So can you please scoot up? They're saying they can't really hear you very well, and maybe you can talk up a little bit. He can't have his face on camera for a reason.
So it's a difficult one. It comes down to our elected leaders and the policies. You know, we're all responsible for voting. You know, it's our duty to understand who we're voting for and what we're voting for. When you elect a local, state, federal congressman or somebody who's going to speak on your behalf, someone who's allowed to spend your money, somebody who represents you in a building, it's very important to know who that person is, what their moral compass shows you, what they've done in their history and what they intend to do in their future. Those are the people that we elect to act on our behalf when we do our 9-to-5 jobs and pay our bills. Those people are critical as to the funding, what we're prepared to do and how we're prepared to do it. So wars are fought by men, but it's allowed by politicians. If we didn't want to be in Ukraine, we wouldn't be in Ukraine. If we didn't want to spend billions of dollars, we wouldn't be doing that. We give that power to the presidency to ultimately decide that. We can use Ukraine as an example. They appear to have been spending a lot of money from America and other countries, but it doesn't seem to have appeared to have translated into success on the battlefield. Why is that? Well, it's without having access to their books, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, but there appears to be quite a bit of money laundering going on, and it's not translating into the weapons, the medical equipment, communications, logistics, manpower that you would expect with the vast sums of money that America has made available to them. I remember reading a report that we requested, and I don't even know why it's a request and not an order, but the United States requested oversight over the funding and was denied. Again, absolutely incredible that we even moved ahead with this. Why we would be denied understanding where the money's going so that we could help them with their strategy. But we accepted that answer. Absolutely insane. And here we are.
We know for a fact, Lawrence, that we've had reports of weapons that America sent over being sold out the back door by Ukrainians to our enemies for profit as well. You know, when there's no oversight, there is corruption, period. And, you know, Zelensky has a history. I don't know if you really understand Zelensky's history and the Ukrainian history of what actually took place, but he is not the person everybody in the world thinks he is. And so we have to understand the cover-up. Again, Ukraine is a cover-up state, I believe, that has happened with bioweapons labs, our own military, were illegally, by the way, the United Nations has the documents. We met behind closed doors with European Parliament members and leaders where they have actually documents showing that our own military was engaged in illegal gain of function for military grade purposes. We know that there's been servers that conveniently got destroyed during war, etc. And so, again, the big cover up. America needs to start making Congress stop funding Ukraine and other entities, Iran and other entities around the world who have not our best interest at heart. We don't belong in this business. Let's move on. There was something that's interesting, and I really want to clarify this too, because I just got a text message. I'm reading your guy. By the way, I'm reading everybody's questions and comments. Make no mistake, America did not found Hamas, okay? Neither did Israel. So that's dangerous rhetoric, by the way, and you have no proof behind that. So we need to stop with this nonsense. Now, there's a difference between us funding these organizations and empowering these organizations. That falls on our hands. And quite frankly, that falls on the American people's hands because, again, like we said earlier, you're not doing enough and not mad enough to really protest, right? Look at who showed up in the Capitol building. Look who's on the streets of the campuses. Look who's on the streets of New York and all over the world. Pro-Palestinian, which are Hamas terrorists, okay? So anybody who thinks, and we're going to talk about that. So let's have the world understand Palestine, the connection between Hamas, and why the Palestinian people are complicit of what Hamas is allowed to do and operate and use them as human shields.
Yeah, so Hamas were voted in. I think they've got 64% of their Senate in Palestine.
64% of their Senate in Palestine was voted in by the people of Palestine and are all Hamas. Go ahead.
So the Hamas is part of their ideology. Make no mistake. If the Palestinian people didn't want them there, they wouldn't be there. They were voted in. So as much as you can say that the Palestinians are innocent, they're damn well doing nothing about it. And as far as I'm concerned, the old adage is spot on. Bad things happen when good men stand by and do nothing. And that's exactly what's happened. This cancer, this terrorist cell, this terrorist organization that holds seats in their Congress and their Senate has metastasized and felt emboldened enough to now invade a sovereign nation, kidnap innocent children and women and drag them back and use them as human shields while they fight a war. Make no mistake, the responsibility of this lies solely on the shoulders of the Palestinians. They have stood by for decades, and this is the result. I don't know why, knowing that Hamas is in control of their territory, you would still raise your children there. They've personally put their children in danger. They put their families in danger. They can see that as being their land. There's many other Muslim countries they could leave and go to. They choose to stay there. And it's very, very telling that they do that. Also, Hamas raises funds from those people. Those people give to Hamas. They stand in the streets and shout and party with them when there is a success or seen as a success by Hamas. So these people that you say are innocent, they are absolutely a piece of the puzzle that's put Hamas where it is and allowed it to commit these atrocities.
You know, you make a good point about the children. So we're going to kind of expand on that as well. Inside Palestine, from the time that children are able to turn on the TV and watch TV or use their smartphones, they have cartoons that are kind of equated to what Sesame Street would be here. Those cartoons are teaching young children under the age of 5 and up that the Jews are the devil and that the only way to get rid of the devil is to completely eradicate and wipe them off the face of the earth. They also teach them that being a suicide bomber is a glamorous thing to do, that's part of their religion, that it's part of what their DNA is. So they're teaching 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds on how to be jihadist, on how to hate. This is terrible. We have interviews of children from Palestine talking about how they would be happy and they're ready to be a suicide bomber and kill not only Israelis, by the way, the Jews, but Americans. So this is a disease. We have got to pluck that root out and get rid of that and eradicate that. If everybody understood the principles of whether you're not the Nazis, whether the Mao's, the jihadists, this is an ideology that is all about domination and also cleansing those who do not have the same ideology and beliefs that they do. LK, let's speak to that.
Well, the indoctrination of children is one example of how they generate this new generation of hatred. And it's a cycle of violence that just will not go away. The youth are the fighters. The youth are the shields. I think that it's a very high percentage, actually, that over 50% of Palestinians are under 18 years of age, which is incredible when you think about it. But these are the indoctrinated mindless, let's call them holy soldiers, that they use And it's these that no other way of living other than hatred and oppression or a seen oppression by Judaism and the Jews. It's just nothing but this vile cycle of indoctrination that given a fair chance in life, these children would grow into regular everyday people. But with the 70-year-olds and 60-year-olds who run the country, run the region of Palestine, who control the churches, control the indoctrination, they control the media, the Palestinians will never grow up into anything else other than human beings that hate another race. And they live for nothing more than to eradicate Israel from the map and Israelis.
So, let's talk about really quick, and then we're going to move on to our shores because we have about 15 minutes left. When you look at the Palestinians and what happened and took place at the hospital just a couple of days ago, the horrific bombing of the hospital and innocent lives. You know, there's a lot of people out there with disinformation, again, even in our own community, giving out intel and information that they really don't know anything about. And we have to be very, very careful because in the Muslim world, in their world, language, propaganda, and news control matters. And it can actually cost the lives of Americans. Whether it's an American life or somebody from the anywhere in the world that is killed because of the rhetoric or the misinformation that's being put out there before things are thoroughly vetted and looked at is very dangerous and, quite frankly, irresponsible, whether you're a conservative journalist, reporter, or not. And so we need to make sure that we are putting out the correct information. And I'm going to talk to you about what the tactics of the terrorists do. They will bomb their own people. They will bomb hospitals. They have done this in the past. They have a history of doing this. Why? So they can tote the dead bodies or the children who have been hurt and show them, just like, by the way, Iran's leader did 2 days ago, and push that out to the whole Muslim world and say, see, evil little Satan, look what they did, and we have to retaliate. This is dangerous. And that's the MO that they use. And we cannot afford to play into their hands. And I really want to be clear on that. So let's move on and let's talk about Hamas, the weapons that they have, and also the cartels on our own borders. As my followers know, we've been in the fight. We've been at the borders. We've been in Central South America and we've been in Mexico. We know a little thing or two about the weapons and how they've gotten into the hands. So, okay, let's talk about the cartels, the weapons that they've been able to get, the connection with the cartels, and none other than Hezbollah, Venezuela, and Hamas in Iran.
Well, the cartels on the southern border have been arming themselves quite prolifically for the past few years. They've always been well-armed, but now we're seeing uniformity in the weapons. They're also using 50 cals, which are only coming from the United States, and they are using the ammunition quite frequently, which means they have a strong supply of ammunition for the 50 cals. Again, that's coming from the United States. So we need to figure out and stop that flow. The other weapons that they're getting from Iran, from China, possibly North Korea, they've clearly got trade routes established, and there's systems in place for this. To me, what I'm seeing here is this growing strength in the direction of something, whether it's that they want more control over our southern border so that they can increase revenue, whether it's to start a proxy war on the south and distract us from all our other work around the world to favor China or Russia, that would make a lot of sense too. Either way, it's not good for America. We have certainly let this cancer across the southern border grow and metastasize. I don't know why we care about Ukraine's borders more than we care about our own. I understand that the Russian army is something that needs to be slowed down and prevented from developing the Russian Federation into old territories. But you know, we have people dying here every day of fentanyl overdoses because of sudden drug cartels. We have gun battles between cartels and our law enforcement. We have cartels growing with millions of dollars a week, just in human trafficking. And then once they traffic those victims, they put them to work in the sex trade and in drug sales when they're on this side, which grows the problem and grows the revenue.
We have cartels actively engaging in smuggling terrorists into the United States of America. You know, we look at the numbers, 1.5, I think it was 1.5 million gotaways. In reality, it's probably triple to quadruple that. People aren't talking about the northern, western, east coast, and southern border combined. You know, we've had open borders for over 3.5 years. The damage is done. We know for a fact we've identified terrorist cells throughout the United States. We're seeing an uptick of very bad players that are being caught from interest alien countries. Think about how many terrorists have already here on our southern shores, already set up shop. We've uncovered tunnels, sophisticated tunnels, not your everyday cartel tunnels. So we're going to talk about the tunnels for a second that we've actually uncovered. So let's talk about the sophistication of these tunnels and where they got the technology, we believe, from our professional opinion, because this is something we do know about very extensively. How did they get the technology to build the sophistication of tunnels that can smuggle in, by the way, yes, even nuclear devices?
It's clear that there's some kind of a data sharing program between these organizations. They seem to be in collaboration with their efforts against America.
And we're talking Hamas, we're talking Hezbollah, we're talking Quds forces, we're talking Iran's Revolutionary Guard with the cartels.
Yeah, there's an old adage, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And it appears to be working quite well. We've definitely, the Biden regime has definitely played into their hands here and weakened America to an unbelievable level. It's going to take some time for us to get out of this. The tunnels are certainly a problem. There are many, like use Palestine, for example, the tunneling systems they have under there to withstand bombs, rockets. They're extraordinary. They're very intricate. They're concrete lined, ventilated, lit, and they're structural, strategic. So they can get into Israel, they can move around under the city of Gaza while all the buildings are falling down around them. They can stay safe, they can keep the ammunition being supplied to the front lines, they can keep water, they can keep food, they can keep medical supplies, and they can keep it flowing so that they can prolong a battle. It's intelligent. I know Donald Trump was on television calling Hamas and Hezbollah intelligent. Well, they are. They're not stupid.
No, they're not.
They wouldn't have survived if they were stupid.
Some of the heads of these organizations, and you know, everybody can push back about Trump saying that, but it's the facts, right? Because they don't want you to know actually the facts. The heads of these organizations and the generals and the people running the operations, make no mistake, they've gone to Western schools, the best of the best. Why? Because they have the money to do so. They have hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to send and bring up these generals and the guard to use, by the way, our own education and strategy against ourselves, right? That's what they do. Make no mistake, stop being dumbed down and understand that this is a big picture. And by the way, our government knows all of this. Our intelligence agencies know all of this. They've known it for decades and decades. They are complicit in this, I believe, from my own personal professional opinion. When you look at everything from a holistic perspective, it's mind-boggling to me to look at all of the fronts that we're being drawn and sucked into like a vortex that is weakening us on every imaginable level. And what happens once you get sucked, that it gets pulled out like a tsunami, right? Before the tsunami hits and destroys everything in its path, all of a sudden there's a vacuum. It sucks everything out. And then when it sucked everything out, it crashes in and collapses everything and destroys it.
Yeah, the education part is a strong indicator. You know, Kim Jong-un was educated in Switzerland. The Gaddafis were educated in England. Saddam Hussein's children were educated in the West. That's where the leaders of nations educate their children. But, you know, and then when they go back to their homeland, they follow in the fathers of parents' footsteps in the indoctrination. I mean, look at the Bashar al-Assad. He was trained as a dentist, and he's presided over one of the world's longest running civil wars. It's very interesting and telling that these politics and these systems they have in place have no basis in their education. It's all done from the homegrown ideology. What helps them stay in power, what helps them stay rich and powerful, what helps them grow their empires, that's all they care about.
So we're going to move to Biden's also, I believe, purposeful. So you have to understand, Biden's been in office for 50 years plus, okay? The administration and the people who run the White House and who run these organizations, they've been embedded for decades. They understand every single legal protocol that we have. So for anything to come out and say it's a gaffe, to say it's incompetent, or anything along that track, it's a lie. And it's to push you away from the reality and the facts. And here's the facts. These are treasonous acts against the United States. What they did yesterday to Biden did to our own Delta forces, again, is another part of the puzzle of this administration not being the president of the United States of America. He's presiding over another country, and it's not our country, and so or our interest. Those Delta Force, not only the Delta Force are now at very vulnerable, but their families are. This was negligence at unbelievable levels on purpose. And in my personal opinion, and I'm going to read you what treason actually is in a little bit, but these are acts. When you look at everything and you start putting the puzzle together, piece here and a piece here, well, maybe it doesn't fit over here. Maybe that's not right. Maybe this piece, well, let's put it over here. No, maybe that's not right. When all of the pieces start perfectly aligning with consistency with what's coming out of an administration in a certain group of individuals who are leading this country, you have to surmise one and one thing only. They want the tsunami to come and they want it to destroy America. So let's talk about the Delta Force situation, Lawrence, and the implications.
Well, America made a statement that the 2,000 troops being sent were not to be frontline troops, and they would be there for, I believe, administrative roles. You don't send special forces halfway around the world for administration purposes. So unless they're in a training program, but there's no time right now to be training people. You don't send special forces halfway around the world for administrative roles. So what he's done is have his policy undermined live on television, which is absolutely mind-blowing to me. He's also let the enemy know that special forces are there, which so the Hamas and Hezbollah, they have to re-strategize now. Whereas we could have taken a lot of key people off the board with these talented operators and soldiers on the ground operating with impunity because nobody knows they're there. Well, now that option's been removed off the table. So you kind of think that this was a Biden way of telegraphing to Hezbollah and Hamas that these guys are here, which, again, is treasonous.
It's treasonous. And that reminds me of Milley. When he told the Chinese, we'll pick up the phone and we'll call you and let you know if we're going to invade you.
Yeah, I don't know where this mentality comes from. And it's incredibly frightening that the people at the top of government are not even frightened to hide this, which tells you where their mind is, that they don't care about you. They don't care about us. They've got what they want. He's been the president. He's going to retire with Secret Service and a pension. So what difference does
it make? Protection from the Chinese government, Russia and Iran, make no mistake. I want to really kind of give this because everybody out there, we've been doing this for a long time. I worked in D.C. for a long time, and I'm letting you guys know right now, we understand that this started years ago. And actually, you're even incorrect. It didn't start under Clinton and Obama. it goes way back further than that. And I don't have time to get into that today. So we need to stop polarizing ourselves on these little silly details. What you need to understand is what's going on right now, right? Right here, right now. The past doesn't matter of how we got here. We allowed it to become where we are. We need generals and we need leaders right now to lead. And I'm willing to step out and give you guys the information that you need so you can pick and choose leaders in this moment in history who have the backs of the American people, who have the backs of the Constitution, who have the backs of the free Western world, because this isn't just an American issue. This is a free Western world issue. And it is time that world leaders around the country and the world formulate and coalesce and be strength and strong and bonded together to fight back against this globalist tyranny and takeover, because that's what this is. And so we're going to now go into our own congressional leaders. So when you have a congressional member like Tlaib actively wearing a Hamas scarf in Congress, supporting a terrorist organization, we have a problem. This is called an infiltrator. This is called an enemy of the state. And for Congress to continue to allow the likes of Ilhan Omar and Tlaib and these other radical terrorist supporters and sympathizers to continue to roam the halls of our congressional halls, they are complicit in this. They need to be removed from office and they need to be removed now. And for us to continue to allow this to happen, this is really, truly, truly the insurrection. Do you understand, America? We have a photograph that I'm going to show you. If you look, I want you to go look at the what Hamas wears. The when they cover up their face, when they put the hijabs on, when they put their robes on, there's a very distinct logo that they wear around their neck. Tlaib had this on her neck. She is a supporter of Hamas and she is an enemy of the United States of America. Lawrence, what do you say to that?
So Spenny Hoyer tried to mitigate a journalist's question when he asked, what do you think about Rashida Tlaib having the Palestinian flag outside her office? And Spenny Hoyer said, well, she's Palestinian. This is one of the problems I have an issue with. When you come to America, you come to be part of our system, just as much as I did. You don't undo your past, and there's no reason to do that. You're born in another country. That's the way it is. You don't deny who you are. But you come here to be part and add to this system. So when you value a system as so broken down and deteriorated as what's happening in Palestine, you must do everything within your power to help it. What you don't do is then support the very regime that's causing the downfall of the nation. And certainly not as a member of Congress. That is not the way you behave. It's undermining. And as a leader and the voice of a certain amount of people in her district, that's terrible. I do believe she should be allowed to be voted in because that's the people of her district. But I will say something else on this. As somebody who has come from another country, I have seen people come here and vote very, very quickly, not understanding what it took to create America. And what I mean by that is you have generations of Americans that have contributed to America, that have built this country. Blood, sweat, and tears have created this country. And it took blood, sweat, and tears to keep her true. It took lots of money, lots of time, lots of intelligent people. So when you come over here and you get your citizenship or you have the right to vote, I believe you need to be here for 3 voting cycles. It's very important to understand what your vote means. It's very easy to vote any way you want just because your congressperson asks you, whether it's AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar. But make no mistake, these people live in enclaves. As with the Somali people in Minnesota, they came to Minnesota and settled in Minnesota. They do not step outside their territory. They do not learn the language. They don't remove themselves from the country and the conditions they came from. They continue that mentality. And that is not what you're supposed to do when you come and integrate into another country and be part of the system, because if you're not part of the system, you're not contributing to the system. I absolutely believe that new incoming Americans swearing themselves in to this great nation and swearing an oath to the Constitution and the flag, they should be here 3 voting cycles. So they understand the systems of America. What happens when you vote for a Republican or vote for a Democrat, what it means and what you're preventing from happening, because we don't want these terrorist ideologies in our home.
And, you know, there are oaths that they're supposed to swear and protect and defend the Constitution. She is not we're talking about Tlaib right now. She is not the congressional leader for Palestine. She is the congressional leader for the United States of America for her district. And when you're wearing terrorist garb, people who have murdered and raped, brutally killed and chopped off heads, this, whether her people voted her in or not, there's actually things that we have a governing body that you're not allowed to do as a congressperson, and that there's laws to protect and defend. And her allegiance is not clearly to the United States of America. Her allegiance is to a terrorist organization, Hamas and Palestine. We cannot afford to have these kind of people roaming the halls of Congress. So there's 8 members supporting terror organizations, and we need to vote them out. And I'm going to call out the Republicans, too. They can't even get their act together to be collaborative. Everything's fallen down around them, and they can't come together and get Jordan in. You know what? Get your heads out of your what and vote for Jordan so we can move on with business. Not somebody who is sympathetic to China, the interim speaker right now who they have, the Republicans. He is a sympathizer from the financial district to China. Do you understand? Conveniently, McCarthy voted him in to be the interim. That's not a coincidence, America. So you need to get yourself educated. It's a lot of information that we gave you today. And I'm going to end today with a couple things. You need to share this. They're going to suppress this. They're going to say that this is not factual. They're going to try to shut this down. I need you, because they've already suppressed this. Normally we get 700-900 people watching right now, but we don't, because they're actually shadow banning and doing everything they can to stop this message and this truth from getting out. I need you to follow us. I need you to find wherever it is on all of our social media, you need to follow us and like us. Both of those things you need to do. If you want more information like this, you need to become a part of our organization. That's Women Fighting for America. It's right there on the link, wffa.win. I'm not going to hold your hand. Just do it. If you want to get truth information, get involved, know what you can do. I was asked, what can we do? There's a lot of things we're going to be doing. If you want to know what you can do to defend and protect this country, your neighborhood, and have the tools, we're going to host a virtual security intelligence briefing. It is going to cost, because it's a training. I wish I could do it for free, but I have to bring in people who are a heck of a lot smarter than I to give you tactical things that you need to do to defend and protect this country, and actionable items that you can do now, not tomorrow, the next day. When you get off that briefing, when you get trained, you'll know exactly what you want to do. If you're interested in the training, for the virtual training, you're going to have to email us. Again, I'm not going to hold your hand. You can email us, go to Women Fighting for America, go to our website. That's where you're going to have to go. Go to our website. Women Fighting for America, WFFA.win. And you need to find where you can email us. Email us in the big bold subject line, put training, 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 and then give us your contact information. We have to know exactly how to reach out to you, phone number, email, all of that stuff, what city you're in, everything. And we will reach out to you and we will coordinate the date and time for you to come on board and be trained by very incredible experts on a global scale. I'm going to leave you with this. I want to read what treason is. This is the definition of treason. The crime of betraying one's country, especially by attempting to kill the sovereign. So I'm going to tell you what the sovereign is. Sovereign is basically the Constitution, the law of the land, the highest law of the land. Sovereign, sovereignty, correlates to the Constitution and the law of the United States of America. It is supreme authority, supreme authority. Sovereignty, power, and the sovereign power rests on who? The people. the people. That's you and me. By the way, that's not my definition. That is Cornell Law's definition and Webster's. So we have actively an administration on all levels, daily committing treason against the United States of America. We need to hold those individuals accountable. We can do it legally, peacefully, and lawfully. We're going to tell you how. Again, Women Fighting for America, WFFA.WIN. We are going to have terrorist attacks on our soil. I wish I had better news. If you're interested in finding out more details about that, the imminent threat, two places you can go right now. I want everybody to write this down, get your phones out, dictate into it. There's a magazine coming out. It's called Capital Times Magazine. That's Capital Times Magazine. I was blessed to be asked to be the featured cover and speaker for that magazine. In there, I go into detail about the growing threat in Latin America, South America, and our borders, the terrorist threat that's already here and what's coming. The other thing you can do is if you're in the Kansas City, Missouri area, or if you're not, fly in. Determined Patriotism Conference. Determined Patriotism Conference, I believe it's .us, but it's the right side. It's, again, if you follow me on Cloud Hub Facebook, there's a link to that conference. As a matter of fact, I think you'll get a discounted ticket if you use WFFA. There's going to be incredible speakers there. We're not just speaking, because I'm tired of speaking. I'm tired of going to conferences and hearing even my own people in this movement talk, 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 talk. The time for action is now. I know for myself, we are going to give you direct action to do to save and secure the next generation. Because let me tell you, America, 24 is not going to happen without intervention by the American people. Follow us, like us. I'll see you hopefully in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri. And hopefully I'll see you on the training and virtual. God bless you. Share this message. As always, Christy Hutcherson, on the front lines and in the fight every single day for you, the American people.